my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hello, everybody. My name is Hadiza Binut Aladi, Beautypreneur, and I'm here with the Chill Sisters on our 100th and exciting episode. Yay! Alhamdulillah, so far. Today, we spoke about a lot of things, actually. We spoke about why women should have a community for themselves, you know, giving other people benefit of doubt when it comes to relationship, not always judging from your own perspective. We talked about sexual abuse, rape, and how women and society are enabling and the role we can play to prevent this, and how social media has been a great tool and a great medium for bringing progress when it comes to these issues. We talked about so many things, and it has just been fun all the way, and I'm so happy to have been here with Rashida and Yosis for the 100th episode. Thank you.
Hello, boys and girls. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chill Sisters podcast. My name is Rashida.
And I'm Yosis Ladu. Welcome, guys. Welcome.
Today is a very special day, guys. We are on our 100th episode.
That twi is going short.
To Awilo Lukumba dance. Yosis, we have been recording. Mm-hmm. This is the 100th time we are recording.
Rashida has been disturbing my life on record for the 100th time today. And if this doesn't show patience, perseverance, and everything good that is ascribed to a human being, I don't know what is. I'm an angel, if I can say so myself.
God bless me. I want to say a very big thank you to myself hard work, for all the effort I have been putting.
Yes.
To make this possible, I want to say thank you to myself, because without me, without all the hard work, time spent editing, recording, we won't be here. Guys, jokes apart, what a special way to start this episode and to celebrate our 100th episode. We had to bring somebody back. There was very special. There was no way we could do the 100th episode without bringing one of our best guests yet. Ladies and gentlemen, no boys and girls, your own. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, old and young, put your hands together for Hadiza Binu.
Drum roll.
Hadiza, you are the first guest that has ever returned back to the podcast.
And there's a chance that she's coming back again. So that we get that clear. In case you people...
think this is the last we hear of her. No.
You cannot.
It can never be. We'll bring her back. When I told her that she's coming back, she said that she's ready.
No, Hadiza is always ready. Let me say this. Before we started recording, I was like, please, I have a request. Don't come and take over our podcast today.
I think it's not going to be listening.
I will say it. We don't hide things here.
We are open-minded out here.
Very, very open.
Welcome. Hadiza, introduce yourself.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, depends on the time that you're listening from. My name is Hadiza Binut Eladi. I'm a returning guest for the purpose of those listening for the first time. I'm a wife, I'm a mother of three wonderful boys. I'm a beautypreneur. It's one of the leading beauty cosmetics in Europe. I'm also a, I didn't say this the last time, I'm also a catfish farmer. And I'm also working on doing something. You know, last time I said I'm in the process of doing something.
Yeah, you mentioned.
I noticed that sometimes when I'm planning something, when I talk about it, it ends up not happening. Village people. And this thing I'm really planning is for two reasons. I don't want to talk about it yet, because it's a business idea and I've really gone around and nobody is doing it. And I don't want those that have money more than me. You know, let me not talk. I know that have more than me. Just 30, while I'm still trying to gather funds. So that's why I'm still planning. I'm just giving it hush, hush, hush. Because it will pain me. If somebody does it, it will pain me.
Hadiza, in case, if you are looking for an investor.
No, don't worry. Friday, I can tell you guys.
Because she heard nobody is doing it.
Nobody is doing it. If you are looking for an investor and you want somebody, I can assist.
I'm praying it works out because it's not ordinary. I'm passionate about it. I'm really passionate about it. So I want to see what I can do for it starts, you know, before it grows. Yes.
Yeah. Right. That's amazing. Yeah. We can't wait to see what it is.
Can't wait. Good to have you.
Inshallah.
Yeah. Welcome. Good to have you. Welcome, Hadiza. Nice to have you. I'm so excited. What have you been up to since last time you came and then precisely the past week?
Since the last time I came, nothing more, just the normal, the usual, you know, being a boring housewife, plus running one or two errands to try and make my dream actualize, you know. Taking a survey. Actually, I wanted to do like a survey. My husband, like, you want to do survey, they'll steal your idea. Like, you don't tell me the most. I'm just like taking a survey, one or two, you know, I'm just doing putting things in place, make my dream. But it's not easy because what I'm trying to do, I had to wait the rainy season to like leave first because I need to do it in like the setting is outdoor for now.
Yeah.
So I can't do it during the rainy season. So now that the rain is gone, I think we're discussing it before we came on air. Like it's about 2 weeks now. We've not had any rain. So I'll make more plans now. Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, sis. What of you? What were you up to? Oh, yes, I remember. Please tell the people what you were up to this week.
I don't understand this, the drop in the melody when you are about to ask me my week.
Please, because you just called me. And I know that call that she called was not to tell me anything. It was, don't disturb me this week. I'm busy. I have things to do. Uh-huh. Tell them. Open your mouth and tell them.
The funny thing is now, I'm trying to remember what was it I was doing at the beginning of the week. Rashida can create scenario from thin air. When did this happen now? Please, please.
Rashida, you used to talk like someone that up to now, her imaginary friends have not left. They are still there, hovering around your head somewhere.
My imaginary friend. And this is what I have to deal with every day, every week.
I'm telling you.
You see why I call myself an angel? Am I not an angel?
Where did Ashida just have this thought? Where is it coming from now?
You know, somebody, after years of somebody not seeing me, she said that she's glad that my sense of humor is still there.
I do get that, but it depends on the person. It's not everybody. So when we meet, no matter how many years, yet the Minky Wasana will continue like that.
Yes.
But it's not supposed to be like that.
Even in serious situations, I'm those type of people that can never be serious in anything. Like, even in serious situation, I must make light of that.
But it's good, though. You know, I'm someone like
it's
that.
It's coping mechanism.
Because I'm like that, too.
Mine is, I love it because if you don't know me, if you see me outside,
yeah,
you will never believe I'm like this. Ask Rashida.
Giving keep up military zone.
So is the people that know me, if you are talking about me like somebody from afar and they are talking about you, like, are you talking about the same person? This one that is not serious because once I wear my sunshade like this, straight face, until I see somebody I know, that disrespect can never come. I
military cannot Children Association.
So military now, military unite today. Fantastic.
Barra connect. Please, you guys, you are making this podcast anyhow, right? We are recording. We are jumping from one topic to the other.
No, you cannot include that.
I have already
You can never include Abu Demuke discussing. Yes.
Please, can you please tell us how your week went?
Anyway, Hadiza, let me tell you about my week. Only you and you alone. So this week, she's raising her hand. You know, Rashida and Jealousy 5 and 6. I've been telling you how my week has been for the past how many episodes. Let me tell Hadiza for change. Anyway, I have to report the weather. The weather in Abuja has been harsh. Harsh, I must say. Sadly, there are some parts of Abuja that are have been experiencing a power outage for like 5 days now. They said they're doing some maintenance along. They are always doing maintenance. So if you don't have any alternative source of power, ebele, it's really bad. I think the raining days are going. I won't say they are gone because Abuja can surprise you. Tomorrow night it might rain. But the weather has been really, really hot. This week, what did I do? I said photography. So we had a Abuja Photo Fest happened this week. It's like a workshop where they bring international creatives, artists, photographers, people of note in the creative world anyway. They come, they do their exhibitions, they give speeches, talks, and we have practicals and whatnot. Last year's was fantastic. I learned a lot. Then it happened this year. I had to be there. Great speakers. And I love the fact that they come and they pour everything. We have a chance to ask questions, open-ended questions even. You meet great, great people. There are people that you admire their work from afar that you get to meet one-on-one. You get to see pictures, paintings, things that like impactful things, things that will inspire you and all that. It's great because some of the things you see are things that you thought you can't put to light. Then you meet a fellow creative and this is their work. You know, it gives you that hope. Wow, okay, I'm really, really limiting myself. Anything is possible. I love that. Aside the networking aspect of it, two of the people that I love their talk and this year is Nicole. She's a wedding photographer. Then BH is a wedding and creative photographer too. Fantastic. Yeah. And the third lady, her name is Adiola, right? She's a photographer. She lives in Sweden. She's a travel photographer.
Okay.
What she did was to break the barrier. Once you know, there's this thing, she has worked with National Geographic. There's this thing that happens whenever they see a black photographer, you expect their work to be something from Africa, you know?
Okay.
Maybe something from the village and people living in the mountain. Mm. So she wanted to change that perception. Mm. If you go to her page and you see the things, you see an Antarctica. Like just the opposite of whatever you think a black photographer should be taking. She goes for the authentic self.
Yeah.
Like for example, if she meets Rashida, what does Rashida want? What does she like doing? She's capturing Rashida for Rashida, not capturing Rashida the way I want. So I enjoyed her segment too, very insightful. And overall, it was great. I would say for me, if I would rate this year's and last year's one was better for me because we had several sessions of practicals, you know, hands-on with these people. But this year, I don't know, we didn't have any practical. But overall, it was great. I really love it. That's been my week.
Alhamdulillah. For me, nothing exciting like nonsense happened. It's still the school holiday. Just taking the kids, where the school holiday, you have to like look for activities for them. Just taking them for soccer games, arcade. That's what we've been doing. And lots of shouting and lots of stop it, leave it. Stop fighting with your brother.
Look at that disaster, like, oh, tell me about my life.
I don't know. I've reached the point that I'm now feeling guilty. I don't even know. Like, I feel like other people, maybe my neighbors, they are seeing me as this mad person. Like, when I shout, I think maybe I'm the only one that is shouting, or maybe everybody's.
Is it possible not to shout on kids?
Hey, I don't know. You know, some people, they are doing gentle parenting.
Yes. So yes, maybe they say gentle parenting.
So maybe that is parenting. They are not shouting. But are their kids listening to instructions? Are they well behaved?
No, you know that gentle parenting. What? I tried it for like a day and a half. I've been listening to motivational speakers and they talk and you listen and you say you try it.
Aspire to perspire.
And you know that they say that when you feel like shouting, count 1 to 10 or use your fingers, breathe in, breathe out. Breathe out.
That gentle parenting, they didn't explain it very well. Maybe it's for gentle kids, you understand?
Thank you very much.
Or maybe they should have said, okay, according to, you know, continent, you know, geography.
And because
I noticed among this generation of kids now, I think they are called Gen Alpha. I think this is something among your neighbor's kids, your aunt's kids, your nieces, your nephew, your cousins. They have this sort of like God, like they are so curious. At their age, I didn't know what they know. I was still so innocent, but you know, they are so bold. You know, you
tell me child, about
you
know, it.
You ask you why, like why? Till today, I can't tell my mother why.
Because you've already imagined what will land on your face. I don't know if you guys have seen this video on TikTok or Instagram. The mother asked the girl to kneel down, raise up your hand and close your eyes. She said, why does she need to close her eyes? That she's already doing the punishment. She does. So they should explain to her the essence of closing the eyes as part of the punishment.
I saw that video. The girl said, but you punished
even
me.
Punishment,
why don't you give
me? Explain to them the essence of the punishment.
The girl
what
said,
are we trying to achieve here?
Why don't you just tell me to go to my room? Why do I have to kneel down? The mother said, kneel down because I said you should kneel down. And seriously, if you look at it, just because we are parents, and sometimes I tell my son, on, don't do this. And he's asking me why. And I'm telling him, because I said. But if you look at it, it's just because you said. He doesn't need to.
Have your mother had to explain to you why she's punishing you?
If it's punishment, there's no explanation that is supposed to join it now.
Just supposed to obey. Sometimes you just hear from nowhere. Why are you shouting? Kids don't understand it. They still want you to explain. And I don't know, please, does anybody... I can say, go and drop the cup in the sink. And my second son will be like, do you mean I should take one step after the other? Or do you mean I should pass through the living room to get to the kitchen?
You know what it reminded me of? You know, just day for yesterday, my husband was reading something, because we I was taking my own small statistics around my area. He was not reading something out, but generally second bonds.
I don't even know.
And when I said, okay, let us just do a small survey, just people around us, in our compound, people that we know. I'm telling you, let us say out of 10, 8, all of them second bonds.
You see, last bonds, they get all the heat, but people forget the second bonds. Do you know why they forget them? Because it's intentional. They don't even make you remember them, that you even stressed them. They are gone. But you see, last bond, they are all over your face. They are stubborn. They are naughty. But second bond, where will you see them? They don't send you now. They are gone. They are the ones that you'll be begging, please. There's a family meeting. Make sure you are there. And the chance of them coming is slim. If they want, they come. But they expect all this to make the firstborn, I beg, all this stress. They should.
Sometimes I'll just cross my hand and do like this. I'll just do like this. I'll be dumbfounded. I'll be shocked.
It's really like that.
I want to ask something. You see, just I'm overtaking you guys' show. And I want to plead. And this is coming from based on recent events that just happened recently, about 2-3 events. I know Rashida. I've known Rashida for how many years now? You get that kind of a thing. Then maybe, for example, if her spouse comes
or say something like, okay, Rashida is doing this to me, Rashida is doing that to me, then before you know, you that knows Rashida, especially her relatives, and this is more rampant, especially for those, you know, that are related to the husband side, they'll be no, I know. No, Rashida cannot be this type of a person, you know. In fact, while we're in secondary school, Rashida is very quiet. We had a case of a lady, she came to complain that, okay, the husband is gambling, the husband was doing drugs. And this is the type of person that, if you look at him, between the both of you, we even think you are the one that is gambling and you are the one that is. That is how put together this man looks, you know. That is how, and the wife has been complaining, she has been complaining, and nobody, people are like, no, you know, I attended secondary school with this guy, you know, he's not like that. You know, I attended university with this guy, you know, he's not like, even the children are like, no, mommy, we are being crazy, you are being all this. But upon further investigations, you know, we now realize that she was actually right. She's saying the truth. And so I now realize that, okay, it's not only about her and that scenario. You know, even like maybe you're a mother or you're a sister and the wife will say, okay, this man is not taking care of his responsibility. He's not doing it. You're like, no, I know my son. I know my brother. He can't do this. There are things that as a spouse, you know, there are some things that your husband, you know more than even his mother or his sister, you know. They know about that person. So I think we should not be too quick to just, especially women, they are at the receiving end. I don't think we should be too quick, you know, just shut them off, you know, make them look like liars, you know, we don't support them.
Yeah.
I think you understand. Don't be quick to just defend.
I totally get what you're saying. You know, sometimes an individual does not treat everybody the same way.
Yes.
Somebody can be an amazing man outside, but inside he's a terrible father, he's a terrible husband.
Yeah.
I don't want to contribute, because if I start talking now, it will take a very long time. Two personas. But that's just the truth, especially for men. We generally, we present our best selves outside.
Yeah.
Like, it's instinct. We try to present our best selves. But then, for men, especially men, they are intentional about it. Mm-hmm. Aside the subconscious one that you do, they're intentional about it because they're trying to achieve something, which makes it bad because there's an end game to it. And my own is, if you can pretend to be a normal human being, there's nothing extraordinary in being a kind person, a good person, a generally good human being. If you can pretend to be a normal human being outside, why can't you do the same at home? Even if it's pretense, why can't you extend the grace of the present to your own family members? You see, that's why Allah said, if you want to know a person,
ask,
you know
the wife.
He didn't say ask the mama. He didn't say ask his sister. Ask the wife. He cannot pretend with the wife.
Let's look at it like this. You have a brother and you call him and you say, please, I need money for this. and he sends. Automatically, you think if he can extend this generosity to me, he can extend this kindness to me. Definitely, he's doing the same thing to his wife or even more. And when something comes out, your first instinct is to defend him. You cannot even think otherwise about it. Your first instinct is to say, no, this cannot be my brother. This person that is kind, this person that always gives. Then you have this woman that is staying with him, and she's the one that is seeing him every time. She's seeing his daily activities. She's seeing what he's into. Something has to change your mind for you to be able to say he's not this type of person. So what he wants you to
Rashida,
see...
Am I a bad person? Because if you come and tell me my brother is doing this, I'll not defend him first. I'm sorry.
No, but maybe because you know your brother.
You know what? You are saying it because maybe probably it has not happened though. You know, it's easier to say this.
No, it's not. It's not friends. No, she knows her brother. How you can know what you will know what your brother can do and what your brother cannot do.
Rashida knows. I'm not defending any brother.
She will not defend brother.
It's true.
And you know that we are women and who?
I'm not defending any brother.
Me neither.
I'm not.
If your wife comes and tell me that you're my brother,
I'm believing the wife until proven otherwise.
He
did defending. And the thing is, alhamdulillah,
you know what?
Plenty brothers.
So with my mom,
you can't say I'm saying this because we don't have brothers. I get them.
She has plenty.
And I'm not defending them at this. That's just me. I'm not defending them.
We're discussing. I think the last time I went home, I was in Kaduna. So she was okay. The conversation just came up, and she was like, if the wife come and report, he's not yet married. Or else, like, okay, if he gets married, I mean, the wife can do this. She was like, she will stop. I said, mommy, I just talking, but you don't say your picking get problem, but you know your son. I know that it is true. She was like, I said,
Just last week, we were talking about the older generation and how they encourage things. How do you even say it? This is how they enable us.
Enablers.
Default setting is to be enablers. They will always support their child. Maybe our own generation now. I already have my speech that I want to tell my sons. In my brain, I've already written it at the back of my head, the speech that I want to give
Rashida,
my son's wife.
I don't know if I sent you this video. It's from a mother. Mm. She said she had a talk with her teenage son, right?
Yeah.
I think she lives in the UK, but she's Nigerian. If you go and impregnate any girl,
she said your life
it's
is
not
forced.
Her life that will stop. Oh. No, your life will stop too.
Exactly. And I love
your
it.
Life, you are not moving
I
on.
Love
it's
it.
A lie. The way her life has stopped, your life is stopping. We are not getting rid of that pregnancy. She's going to give birth. And the moment she gives birth, you are going to be a father. I'm not helping you. You no responsibility. You go and look for work.
If we all took that into perspective, that would be great. Yes. We'll have a better generation.
A lot of times, Rashida, we know these things because the boys know if you want, you can impregnate 10 girls.
It is most of the
mothers.
This brings me to Ochanya's case. There's no way this podcast will go ahead without us bringing up the Ochanya's case. Girls,
please. That case, but because at a point, like, I was trying to put myself in the shoe of everybody involved. I think it's going to be highly insensitive and inhumane to try and defend the mother. But in a way, I was like, okay, this is her son, this is her husband. Well, but still, no. I couldn't just give her an excuse.
Which one is
her husband and her son?
You know, when you're trying to make sense of something, you know, sometimes you are trying to understand, like trying to go into someone's head to think why that person.
As it was the rationale behind the way they it can never make sense.
So, in case anybody is wondering what the Ochanya's case is about, so it's like this is a case that happened in
2018.
It happened in 2018. You know how you have a rich uncle, quote unquote, or a rich sister who lives in the city, and this Ochanya's case.
Were they even rich?
It's not the rich.
They were not rich.
They were just and they lived in the city.
They were better off.
And this, you have a sister. The way we all, I stayed in my mom's sister's place when I went to the university. Yes. And we are talking about a 5-year-old child now that her mother said, "There's no school in our village where we stay. Go to the city and stay with your auntie. You're going to go to school there," because she wanted a better life for her child. God punish poverty. She wants a better.
Aiyah.
she wanted a better life for her child. And then she went and stayed with her sister. And when the girl turned 13 years old, I don't know if it was before 13.
At first, when she turned eight years.
When the abuse started when she turned eight.
Yes.
Yeah. When she turned eight, the woman's son started sleeping with her. And then
He
was raping her. When he raped her, after he had raped her, the sister caught him. And then they went to tell the father and they told the mother. What will happen? The next thing, what are you supposed to do? They said,
no,
they
the took father him after and prayed
for him. That, something's wrong with him. They let us pray. They prayed for him. The father saw an opportunity. Waha! Now my son has started the job. Let me finish. Now it's easier for me. Then the father started. And this was how they were raping her. They were taking turns.
In fact, it was so aggressive that she developed VVF.
Yeah.
VVF, that's physical vaginal.
Yes.
And
Fistula. Everybody channels what we're talking about.
VVF.
Yes. And like people that are supposed to, do you know what even caused the outrage like recently? I think the sister came online and was making a whole mockery of the situation. After the girl died, there's a post I saw that the sister made. The sister tweeted and she said, there was a time my father and my brother were using the same iPhone 8. My father will use SIM 1 and my brother will use SIM 2.
So the girl is iPhone 8.
The
tweet resurfaced because it was a long time ago she tweeted that tweet. So it just when the case opened again, people started going to her tweets and they saw that.
Again, like she did. If she can lie that she was actually referring to an iPhone, she said once when she was actually blaming the victim, she said a small girl actually
iPhone
said
use SIM 1 and 2.
iPhone 8. Well, since I don't know, I've never used an iPhone 8.
iPhone 8 doesn't have SIM 1 and 2 now. When did they start doing SIM 1 and 2? Is it not eSIM?
She was referring to Ochanya and making a mockery of that girl's situation.
They were going from front and back. Front and back, there was it's a very sad story.
And she was victim blaming. She was saying that the girl was seducing. She was one that was making herself available. How do you make yourself available? You know, there was one of them I was discussing and matter came up even before this Ochanya's case. I was telling my husband that this type of things, there are more rampants that we actually even admit.
It's the one you know now. It's the one you see.
Yes, and the anointing that you see
lowbrow areas more.
Yes, and you see this man confidently say she seduced me, and even women will be like, what was she wearing? You as an adult male, you are in your 20s, in your 30s, a child, a teenager, a child will come to you. Even if this is what she's looking for from you, you are the person that you are the adult here. You are the one that is supposed to act reasonably. The one that is supposed
what does
to
an
say,
8-year-old child know that you say that she's that the one?
You are the one that is supposed to say no. You know, you stop it, you nip it off, but how can you just, an 8-year-old will come at you, or a 13-year-old, or a 16-year-old will come at you, you go along with the flow and you say she seduced. Are you mad? Are you mad? No, serious.
Very mad. Okay, this is what happened. Let's leave the household situation. The mother has seen this thing and she was able to go and report it to the justice system. The justice system that is supposed to protect the child, give justice to the situation. When the case was presented to them, what did they do? They acquitted the father.
You know what I blame? You know, even if in the Nigeria law, it says that, you know, rape victims, I don't know, what is the penalty for rape? Is it life imprisonment? I think it's life imprisonment.
They just recently amended the law where life imprisonment, I think, just recently.
It's proving it that it's the problem now. In Nigeria, we don't do rape tests. Like, immediately you come to the hospital, they are going to give you these kits to ascertain whether you are raped or not. We don't do that in Nigeria. There's no medical in Nigeria. Secondly, if you go to the police, you are even the ones that are going to mock you, they're going to laugh at you. You understand how I have a thing? And because most times, because of the shame, you know, the stigma, you see most of these rape victims, they don't even use to talk. Maybe after a while, when they finally talk, even if you're going to run these steps on them, you're not going to find anything. So
but this one, she talked. They could see it. It was evident. There was picture. The girl was not working properly. She came out at 13 years old. No child at 13 years old should come out and be able to say
they only convicted the mother for negligence.
the whole Ochanya thing, if you notice, are being awfully quiet. There are some details that you people didn't mention. It's the nitty-gritties that will upset you the more. Now, when they started raping this girl, well, first of all, the reason why she's in the house is because there's no secondary schools. The schools in their community, she can't go to those schools. That's why she's living with her uncle and auntie. Do you know that the parents in the village were the ones sending the school fees?
No.
I was waiting for you people. You see why I say I don't want to talk? Rashida,
that's not possible.
Okay. Parents are the ones sending school fees. Wait. You are not upset yet, too. When they took her to the hospital, do you know they were waiting for the parent to send money for the hospital bill? The parent had to look for money to send. That's when they started treatment.
Where are you people now? It's the small detail that will worry you.
And they were threatening the parent that they are going to lock them up. You know, the man is like a pastor too. The case of her face, because it was the anniversary of her death, then the son, you know, there's this thing on social media, especially Twitter, they will go for a while, then they will change their handle, the name of their handle. But there's one or two people that are waiting for you. Even if you change handle, they are waiting. Yes. And usually, it's women. Of course, a man will not do that. So this lady started like, come on, this is the same guy that raped Ochenya that she had to die. Look at his new handle. Look at his friends. He's living his life. Before you know it, then the anger. Because look at him now. He's fresh. He has grown up. See his beard with his friends in parks, parties, and all that. The dad has gone back lecturing again. They have moved on with their life. Meanwhile, the parents of the girl, they are miserable. See, in anything you do in this life in Nigeria, just pray to God that you are not poor. You see poverty. The moment you cross it, you can manage any other thing. But if you are behind that line, you are gone. Look at the mother and the father. Tattered.
I was even saying something to a friend. I said that, you know, that most of these issues that we're having, like your daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, if you notice, most of these daughter-in-laws that they even used to like maltreat, maybe she comes from a poor home. If you know that you have daughters, please make money. Because if you have money, they will not maltreat your daughters.
There's no maybe now. It's for sure. No, check it. You can, I'm sure you, since you like taking statistics, if your parents are rich, if you come from a rich background, the way they will approach you is different.
Yes. See, that's why the profession was against poverty. Because when you are poor, like, you know, when you are like very, very poor, there are some things that you are just vulnerable to. Yeah. You understand?
That's your most vulnerable moment.
Yes. Yeah. And I think in this Ochenya's case now, because, you know, the parents are poor, they felt like she doesn't have anybody. And I thank God for this is one of the positive impact of social media. Because I think this had happened before social media. That's how that case would have gone under the water.
Forever and ever.
How many of these cases have we had that?
A new hope for the parents, because to them, they felt it was a lost case.
Of course.
It happened in 2018.
Do you know the sad thing about this whole thing? You'll see, Rashida, today, if you're not alive today, I think maybe the next best person that you would think should be able to take care of your kids are your siblings. Especially your sister, that born. Yes. Then imagine that it's under your sister's care, under her custody, held. No. In fact, I don't want to even imagine. You know, there are some news, and when I see on purpose, I'll just be scrolling. I could not avoid it.
You know, for a while now, I've been avoiding anything because at the end of the day, I'll be the one that will be affected psychologically. I'll be depressed and all that. And there's nothing I can do about it. I can't do anything about it. Best I can do is repost. You feel helpless.
Your repost is something because everybody has been reposting. Everybody has been posting and talking. That is why the case has been reopened. We're even discussing about it now.
Yeah, that's why we are discussing about it now.
We're creating awareness. We're enlightening people. And please, everybody. I know it's God that gives children. Everybody should just try and have the number of children that at least you know you can cater for.
And that is on period.
They say she's the 8th, I mean the 11th. I shadow that there are many.
Because I saw her senior sister on TikTok coming to talk because she was at the hospital with her during that time.
That took care of her before she died.
No.
It's like I've been seeing the worst testimonies. She was explaining what the girl went through, how she couldn't control her poo.
And urine also.
Even the urine. So they had to try their best to see how to stop the poo before the urine. She couldn't eat.
Nobody should go through that and through not this a 13-year-old child.
Even when she was 8, She she was 8 this and started. So how many years? Her body couldn't take it anymore. Her body couldn't take it.
Hadiza, I don't know. Because of this Ochenya case, that's one thing I like about the Gen Alpha and Gen Zs. Don't like their audacity and their forwardness, but there's one thing you like. So this girl, she's on Twitter and TikTok. She was raped when she was 6. She's not talking about it now. And the brother of the guy is threatening her.
You know, there will still be people that will come and tell her she should keep quiet. You know, the shame is on her. And I think while he's threatening her, we are not having a safe space. You know, before in the past, there's no how that this girl will come out and even talk about this experience.
Never.
I'm glad that we are now reaching that stage that people can now come out. We now know that it's fine. It was never your fault. You know, it's not your fault. We're not going to blame you. This is a safe space. And we need to be sure. I don't think we are shaming these rapists enough. We are not shaming them
enough.
The audacity for you to come and threaten me, God forbid, my brother does kind of a thing, I will keep quiet. Nobody will even hear claim from me. Case
I
don't know.
I will not be, I'm definitely not defending you. Because of this Ochanya's case, like, I have seen videos of so many people come out to talk. I've seen a picture of another person who was molesting two of his daughters. This is a father now. So because of this Ochanya case, a lot of people have been coming out, giving them enough confidence to come out and say what they've been through. It's really a sad situation.
Did you see one trendy video of some women that was saying that if her husband is raping her daughter, she will carry the daughter away? Those women, they are our problem.
Yeah, they are everywhere.
You know, they are still giving this, they are indoctrinating this some younger generation with this, their smelly mentality. Yes. No, because they are pulling us. You know, when you think we're taking like 2 steps forward, they drive you back.
There's this pastor, I think she's a pastor or a preacher, I don't know what specifically she is. She has stories for days. How she left her husband when he impregnated another woman, and she's trying to explain to people that marriage is not a do or die. Because you can see a woman in a situation where she's being abused, it's not favoring her, she doesn't have anything to give, but just because they call her Mrs. So, she will stay and endure any rubbish.
Yes, no. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, at the end of the day, I still don't blame this woman. Do you know why? It's
why?
The whole society at the end of the day. If you notice now, we are now more welcoming. We now accept divorces, unlike before. You know, the same people that will come and tell you, don't take it. The moment, Rashida, it's not easy. If you're going to sit down with these women that left their husband for genuine reasons and how society treats them, if you are not strong, you can't deal with it. So because of that, it's the same people that will tell you you should leave, and we're still the same people that, you know, they are mocking them. You know, in fact, if you have married women that are still your friends, the moment you leave your husband's house, it's as that bad. They will start defriending you. You know, they will unfriend you.
Yeah, not when they are clique.
No, they'll see you as a threat. You want to come and start sleeping with their own husband. That's the mentality. In fact, there was a time when I was doing my business, I had this single girl, very hardworking girl, like very, very hardworking. She's single, she's very tall, you know, busty and everything. Like, very fine girl, mashallah. So she comes to my house, we discuss business, we go out other things. You know, I had 2-3 people that come and tell me that, you are allowing this girl, you see how she is, you that you are still tiny like this, you are allowing her to come before you know, she will slap your husband.
She will slap your husband.
Yes, and I have to do it in a way that I don't want her to hear. You know, there's a time that somebody said it, she actually overheard and did as if no, she didn't hear. This is somebody that is even single. At the point she said, withdrawing from me, I want to ask her, what is it? This is it. I'm like, imagine, I'm not sure that I don't care about all that. A man that wants to follow a woman, even if I bring the woman to my house, if I don't bring her to my house, he will still go and follow
he
a woman.
Still and follow, all. Yeah.
And imagine how her mental state is going to be. So this type of a lady, at the end of the day, if she ends up getting married, sometimes if she's seen Shege in that home, do you think she wants to come out again? Based on what she was facing as a single lady, people are now more accommodating. We are now more welcoming. Look at when May left Yul Edochie, you see how people rally around her. Still always have people that are still dragging her. Why won't she stay? Why won't she endure? Why won't she follow her and do the and be dancing too? You get fun of what you but because she had that support, it was easier for her.
For her,
the women,
yeah.
They didn't have that. So sometimes, even I see women that, you know, it's not just about answering the Mrs. title. It's not everybody that is strong enough to deal with the pressure that the same society are putting on them.
Hadiza, I agree with what you said. One thing I would add or don't totally agree with is you said you don't blame the women at all, just the society. We know the role culture plays and the way religion is being portrayed when regarding this issue. Now, this is not the first time. Like, right from time, women have always had to take the loss when it comes to this kind of issues. But as an adult, as a woman, there comes a time in your life where you need to make a decision based on what is in your own interest.
Yeah.
And when you're making a lifetime change, you have to take a risk. You must take the risk. I'm not disputing the fact that that support system, if you listen to most of our episode, I'm the one that always says that you need your friends, you need family. Yeah. If you're a woman, don't let anybody deceive you that because you are marrying, forget about your friends. It's a lie.
Yeah.
You will need them. So you see, in the first place, these are the things that most women do. You discarded all your friends, maybe the ones from primary school, from secondary school, who are the real genuine friends. Now you want to start a new friend base, Married Women Association, when it's only gossip that you people will be gossiping. They don't have your interest. Like you said, the moment you separate, they dump you. So my point is, you cannot blame the society for choices that you've made in your life. And this is something that we are teaching the young ones now. See, there are consequences for the choices you make, and you have to face them. So it's either you choose this or that. But then what I will admit is, there are people, like we were just talking about poverty, there are people that abuse you because they know you have nowhere to go, and you cannot lie to yourself. You know you have nowhere to go.
Yes.
No friends, no family. If you're smart enough, maybe you, nobody, and they know that. The worst thing that will happen, the abuser to know that you have no any other source of reference apart from them.
Yes.
You know, that's what abusers do. In that way, they'll detach you, separate you from anybody so that they are the only point of reference and contact. But my own is, we are in the 21st century. You cannot put the blame and expect everything to be done for you. You have to be intentional about finding things out for yourself, working on yourself and all that. You cannot just say, put in the effort, pray. But you have to put in the effort first. There are people that their lives were changed not by their family, not by their friends, total strangers. Why? Allah saw you make that effort. And for him, it's just kun for your kun, be and it will be. He will find a way to help you out of that situation.
As long as you're genuine,
Thank you very much. In the beginning, of course, like we always say here with Rashida, the moment you know between you and God, what you're doing is right.
Everybody will be fine.
Everybody will be fine. That's like everybody will move on. Adiza, it's you. Yeah. There's this joke. Is the person that I die, do I lose? Oh,
it's your loss.
You said something very important, and it's part of what I'm trying to form around my business idea. I'll still talk about it, but you know, it's something that is a key part of it.
Yeah.
Like you said, when we women marry, we abandon our community, our friends. But sometimes I don't think we do it intentionally.
I agree.
Okay, you know, the more I don't think it's like now. I think I've reached now. Okay, I'm here. I'm not marrying the same state where my parents are or my relatives are.
Mm.
For me to even record this episode, you know, I had to hide in the car, go to my neighbor. You know, you're all alone. So I think I've even reached a point, I always complain I don't have anywhere to go. But if you invite me now, okay, let's go for this wedding, let's go for this naming ceremony, I find myself looking for excuses not to attend. Not because I don't want to go and socialize or do anything. No, it's because I don't have a choice. Okay, what am I going to do? Where am I going to keep these kids? I don't really trust other people around my kids so much, you know, just to be abandoning them all the time. And those kind of functions and events, I'm not just going to carry kids and just go and disrupt the whole process and all that. You get, before you know, it now becomes a part of you. Before you know, you have become, you wake up in the morning, you are doing school runs, you've gone for your business, going to work. Before you know, you don't even have that time any longer to
it's funny enough how Hadiza is in Nigeria and she say the same thing, because it just sounds your life is sounding as if you're abroad.
Yes, but men are more intentional. Men will leave and they will go, they have time to go and, you know, to go and play ball, to go and
speak
with their friends. At the end of the day, when things, you know, don't work out, you don't have anybody to fall back on, because in a way, intentionally or unintentionally, you've alienated everybody around you. You find yourself, you don't have genuine friends around you anymore. So I think we need to be more intentional, you know, in keeping relationships. We need to be intentional in forming, you know, our circle and all this. You know, we need to bond over it, because at the end of the day, we all we have is each other. Learn selfishness from men. And I think it's high time we do that.
And audacity. Selfishness and audacity. You see, the reason why we don't even know we do it, Hadiza, when you're getting married, you know, they advise ladies to forget about their friends, change your phone number.
Why?
Were you not a person before this marriage?
Yes.
Like, so it's like you.
No, but it's you as a woman that needs to change your phone number.
Yeah. You're just a new person now.
No, but you sis, to be fair, when you get married, God erase all your sins. And you are
so
you
want to erase your friends too.
You are starting afresh. So you have to leave everything behind and come in as a whole newborn baby.
But wait, they say both you and the husband are new people. Why are you the one eliminating your friends? Why is it?
Yeah, I'm talking talking for you, friends. The woman. Now him, I'm not talking for him because I don't know what he's doing.
No, we are talking about marriage. It doesn't make
sense. Doesn't. How does this and even make
you
sense?
You must be intentional about it. The one that even paid me, aside from you eliminating your friends, some even their own family members, self.
Mm-hmm.
On top what? On top man. Are you okay?
No, I can relate with what Hadiza said because you see, like, okay, you know how you're doing school runs, you're doing all these activities, you're trying to improve yourself, you're doing all these things, and then the holiday comes, you just want to be at home.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want, everybody should just leave me alone. I don't want to do anything. Just leave me alone. That leave me alone, at the end of the day, this holiday, you do leave me alone. Next holiday, you say leave me alone. You just find yourself.
Everybody has left you alone.
Everybody has left you alone. Your own company.
Rashida, I love the fact that you guys share this same experience. Mm-hmm. Then I will now weave it with what I said earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
I said, your friends that you made from primary school, secondary school, who are your true friends, you are letting them go. And you're forming a new group of friends, Married Women Association. Now, your true friends, the ones that you've made over time, if you're going through this, even if you say, leave me alone, when you are done, you come back, they still have your back.
That's my best type of friendship.
Do you understand? But the new ones, their tolerance level of, who has time for that? You'll be like, what does
what would you think you are?
Who did she think? So, more reason why you're not supposed to leave your friends, right?
Yeah.
There are friends that, Rashida, you don't talk to. Maybe in 6 months, you talk twice. Mm-hmm. But when you talk, you talk.
You feel
the connection, you feel everything, you understand?
Yes.
It summarize everything that's been happening to you. And when you're done talking with them, it's like therapy.
Of course.
You feel renewed. No hard feelings whatsoever. They are always there for you. Are you going to get that same treatment from new friends?
You're not
going to get it. You see why? You must be intentional. The man that you got married the same time with him, his friends, even if their friends are rapists, they don't stop being friends. So unless there's this shame, when they are publicly shamed, even at that, maybe publicly, they will stop seeing each other, but in private, they are still communicating.
They are still communicating.
They don't leave.
Except that friend did something very bad to them
because he did this to his wife. He did it. It doesn't concern them.
It's not their problem. I didn't even know. It's not my problem. I didn't know. He didn't tell me.
Anyway, women, be intentional. You just have to be intentional and be selfish, like Hadiza said. And I added other things. Yes. Love yourselves.
If you feel like you don't want to cook today, please don't cook. Lie down and sleep. Everybody will be all right.
Everybody will be all right.
Everybody will be fine. Last.
If you feel that today you want to go and eat suya, please go and eat that suya.
Hey,
lock yourself inside.
Now I feel like eating suya. Hey.
Lock yourself inside car.
Adisa, if Kwadai come day or night, afternoon, come rain or shine, we'll run it.
There was this one I wanted to talk about. I know Hadiza has something to say about it, and it was one of your posts. Okay, I'll just read it so that we can talk about it. So this person said, I used to think putting food stuff like rice, spaghetti, beans, oil, and the rest in the bedroom is ghetto and local until I met a house help that helps me finish it. Well, just 1 month, my bag of rice is half, beans, oil, everything has gone down. It usually lasts for like 5 months. She was saying now she puts it in her master bedroom. I saw that post and I'm like, I know who has something to say about it. Hadiza has something to say about it. Yusis has something to say about it. Me, I don't have any experience in this department. But I still think it's ghetto because why would I have somebody in my house that
ghetto? Even me, I think it was ghetto. But like there's this saying that they say Fiji. Now who no go, no go, no.
And person where they drive with mouth to know they get accident.
I can remember vividly when me and my younger ones will sit down and we'll be gossiping that my mother is hiding foodstuffs, my mother is doing this, my mother is doing that. What kind of a thing is this?
What type of behavior
and
is this?
When I gave birth and she came to help me with one kanjego to help me take care of my baby. So she now noticed that my son came to ask for sugar. Mm. And my mom was looking at me. She saw me entering in the inner room, raising some clothes or dragging out. She said, Hadiza, you took care of my father. Oh, you can't. Mom, if I leave it out like the seed, they'll just waste it anyhow. Mm-hmm. So okay. And with this house girls of a thing, when I even reposted that, somebody was asking me like, okay, how did they do it? I said, these guys, they are smarter than you. This lady, if she's leaving the house, she leaves the house empty-handed. She comes empty-handed, and we're like, okay, this woman is not stealing. How comes our foodstuffs are reducing? So what we notice is that actually, when she's taking out the trash, when she's done sweeping, she's taking the trash out. That is the time that she has already fetched what she wanted to fetch. So she will not be there with trash, with the basket.
Rahisha has put the full stuff under and put trash on top. We never know. She will take it out and she will continue her work. Then later, when she's leaving, I said to Salemuk, say, Anjima, okay, bye 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 bye. Then she'll just branch to where she puts the trash, take whatever she's taking, and she will leave. That's just one system. Some of these house girls, they've graduated to, like, you are thinking, okay, they don't even have anybody reported from under city. They know how they communicate with their people. They go to the park or they keep it with other people and they send it off or they keep it with other people. So you may see it as ghetto, but, and you cannot keep changing house helps all the time, all the time. It's exhausting.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole process is exhausting.
For security and other concerns
reasons,
too.
Yes. And for your own peace of mind, just do your own hiding.
My own is, aside from stealing food, is the wickedness and heartlessness of them now. Rashida, you will see posts everywhere now. I don't know if it's a spiritual thing. You are not maltreating this house help. You buy her essentials, you know, toiletries and everything. They eat what you eat. But for God knows why, you will see a house help peeing in the food that you are going to eat. I don't know the pee thing, because I've seen more than 5 house helps videos. They've been caught on CCTV camera. There's one that is inside the kitchen. She'll bend down, pee, and put in the food. I don't get what is about the pee and what is happening. I don't know. The second thing is, now they poison their madam. You want?
Oh, God.
This? She bought Sniper. Sniper is it insecticide? It's pesticide.
Yes.
She put it in the food that everybody will eat. Do you know why? That she wants to go home.
Oh,
that's
God.
Why she wants to kill everybody. But they said,
oh, God.
Can we stop you from going home? That no, she knows if she says she's going to go home, her dad is going to beat her.
The solution is for everybody to die.
So when everybody dies, then she can now go.
Then there's the one that burnt the house well before she left.
Yes, yes, I saw that one.
So the atrocities, stealing food is the least of my problem. And the ones that will harm your children because they can't do anything to you.
Yeah.
And the cases are becoming worse and worse. These are the ones that they don't mention, aside from the house help. You see, agents, those ones, they are the devil incarnate. Rashida, so, is a business
agents,
now.
They probably tell these girls to misbehave so that they will collect
they
agency
fee. They tell them exactly what to do. You know, when they bring the house help for you, you pay them agency fee, right?
Yeah.
It's from 10,000, 15,000, depending on the state you are living. Abuja, I know, is around 15,000 naira. So, when they bring this house help, they tell them max 2 weeks. If you are lucky, they will say 3 weeks. One, it's either their father is dead, the mother is dead, or about to die, or she's sick, or they ask her to come back. Why? The agent has started calling her. She started misbehaving, or the one that will start pretending that she's being possessed. She'll start shaking like agidi on the floor, screaming nonsense. You know, nobody will want that kind of person in their home.
Yeah.
You let her go. She's moving to the next house. Thank God for this group. Hadiz, I think you are in that group. There's this group that they created. There's one for Abuja. There's a bigger one now where it's mostly women. Mm. When they bring a new household for you, you send the picture into the group. Please, has anyone worked with this one?
Yeah.
And the response is fantastic. There's one that says, this one just left my house now. They said she is going to her village. Yes. But
that's terrible.
And you know one thing? You know, we actually employ witches. We don't know.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
God, please.
So they confess now. They even confess.
Even which we've heard a witch before.
Yeah, God.
If you see one that you can manage, because they can, you can't have it all. If you see one that you can manage, just manage. And there's this thing I do. Once you say you are leaving my house, you must leave. There's no going back.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You are leaving. Because you don't know what prompted her to say she's leaving your house. Especially, you know, when you are the one that usually you burn herbal tea soda in your house, you're always playing Quran in the house. Their spirit will not. So the moment they say they are going, let them go. Don't force anybody to stay in your house. Do not do it. It will end in tears, and it will be premium tears, not anyhow tears. Let them go.
You guys, they heard this one. This person said, I have got this family member who is always asking me for one thing or the other. A few months back, I decided to end the cycle of constant handouts and give him a substantial amount of money, not as a loan, but as a grant. He said, I mean tens of millions to start a business, with a clear agreement that he would never come back and ask me for money ever again.
Mm.
That was in July. This morning, he hits me up asking me for money again, and I haven't been this mad in a long time. Honestly, how do we end this cycle of black tax? He screenshots the message. He now said, if you text me again for money, I might block you. Then the person replied, no wahala, you don't have to be rude, just say you can't. You can block me if you want. Thanks. Just know that this person is a very stupid person.
It's the entitlement for me, but it always comes with entitlement. You have to check some people quite early.
Yes.
You have to show them your own, that you too, you are a mad person. It's just that sometimes you go on holiday and that's when they meet you. Yes. You know, they say aura for aura. In Nigeria, I saw ulcer for ulcer and madness for madness. Anyhow, they serve you, you have to serve it back. Because I don't know, on top of my own money, you are saying you don't have to be rude or whatever about it. Who the hell are you?
You know that some people are just good at begging. They just want you to be given every time. They don't want you. Don't help me.
What came to my mind at first, I was like, this story, am I sure it's not like Juro to Juro? Somebody just, you know, cook this up, because the audacity was like, it was just too much for me to comprehend.
No, some people are that audacious.
But when I calmed down, I realized, I said, this thing, it's not even strange. These things happen. And there's this love. You know, if you give somebody something, I read it somewhere, if you give somebody something the first time, gratitude, you give the second time, anticipation, you give the third time, then there's appreciation, and entitlement.
Yeah.
Then the person looks forward to, in fact, the person that looks like, it's now your responsibility. You just have to do it.
Of course.
And the day that you don't do it, you have become a terrible person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not even surprised that somebody will do that. At least the person has even made it easy. So just block the person.
Very, very easy. You just thank God for his mercies.
You know that if you want to block me. If you decide to use reverse psychology, that is even the more power you
and
want
you
to
so that you feel guilty. Don't be surprised. Even if you are giving that money, that person did not do any business. You know, still, when you are receiving this type of free money, you just feel this money just coming from heaven, like manna from heaven free.
Because you are a good person. Percy just did it. He's a good person. He's saying, okay, instead of you coming to beg every time, why don't I empower you? Do something, do a business so that you can have the money.
Yeah.
It's not everybody
you can
that
be
used
on your own.
Yeah, it's not everybody that used to think like that. That brings me to one film that I watch. You see, there's this film on Netflix. I've been watching movies for a long time, but I have never come across a plot twist as bad as this. My mind was blown. Only me. You know, when you finish watching a film and you sit down and you just open your mouth like this. What did I just watch? It's on Netflix. It's called Behind Her Eyes.
I've been seeing people talking about, like, what is... Somebody said he has been thinking about the plot twist for 1 week. That when he remembers, he's just in shock. Up to now, I've not watched.
I was sleeping. If I remember, I would just say, No, this is the first time I'm not going to ruin a movie for you. I'm not going to tell
Thank
you anything
you.
About it. You know, since I want
Thank
you to watch
you.
It and come back, just forward all the sex scenes and you'll be all right. You know,
okay. Sis. Plenty.
And this is based on a book.
Okay.
It's an amazing movie. I'm mind blown. Like, I did not believe it. You finish watching a movie, then you are now remembering all the scenes. You are now looking at the person in a different light. All the... So it's making you think about it again.
Yeah, I'm going to add it on my list.
Please watch it. It's 6 episodes. Beautiful.
That's not much.
It's not long, yeah. Okay, finally, before we go, I have this last thing to say. I saw this post where somebody wrote that, because you don't clap for others, something along the line of, because you don't clap for others, that's why God has not blessed you and your turn, it's not your turn yet. I'm looking
I don't
at that
understand.
I'm looking at that post. I'm like,
what do you think clap gonna do with this one now?
Based on my understanding, I don't think she meant like clapping, like papa, papa, literally.
Are they celebrating?
I think maybe the poster is trying to say, if you don't celebrate with others, like if you're not happy for other people, you too, you're not going to have that success come
but
to
then
you.
That's another way to look at it. The way I looked at it is, because I don't clap for you does not mean I'm not clapping for another person. It's you that I'm not clapping for. Because me particularly, I'm not clapping for you does not mean I don't have other people I'm
clapping
for.
The poster did not say, if you don't clap for me, that is because you're not clapping for me. That is what
these are people.
I'm trying for you to understand that is not how this life works. If you think that life works like that, it is not work like that. God,
life is not a Nollywood movie.
You think you're referring to, it doesn't mean everybody, definitely people around you.
Me, I agree with my own. You agree with your own. On that note, I think I come and be going. We have come to the end of this podcast.
Don't clap for me.
Adiza, we'll clap for you.
Thank you so much for listening this far. Adiza, thank you so much for coming. It's always
thank
a pleasure
so
to have you.
Thank you. It's always fun, actually. It's really, really fun having Adiza all the time. Kindly follow us on all our social media handles. is at the Chill Sisters, both on Instagram and TikTok. We're on YouTube too. Thank you. It's 100th. Hadiza is here. It's a special one. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did.